Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 12 February, 2026, 3rd John.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure you have been paying attention. Deb has been redoing the bulletin boards out there. And she has a new schedule. Next week, there will be a new dispensation. Next week, the floors are going to be refurbished. So next week is the floor dispensation. And classes will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Giving you a heads up. Or you can check out those new bulletin boards that Deb has been doing a fabulous job getting those all rearranged and set up. Fantastic. So next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But we will have classes Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There you go. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 3 John. 3 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have our update of the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. This is the Las Ventanas February 11th report. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, February 11th, went very well. Pastor Olson continued teaching the 23rd Psalm with a background on the life of David. Pastor Olson taught from 1 Samuel chapter 16, describing how God led the prophet Samuel to reject David's 7 older brothers and then selected and anointed a 15-year-old shepherd based on what was in David's heart rather than his outward appearance and accomplishments. King Saul was a king after the people's heart, but David was a king after the Lord's own heart. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. As always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right. 3 John. The first 8 verses were about the best of the best, a fellow by the name of Gaius. That was the first 8 verses, and the Apostle John loves Gaius very much. He is a spiritually mature believer. He's a winner believer. And the Apostle John just enjoys being around him. They have a great friendship, love, relationship. That's the first 8 verses. And then in verses 9 through 11, we have the worst of the worst. And that is Diotrephes. We have exegeted the first 2 verses, 9 and 10. And it sounds like this in corrected translation. I have written something, a doctrinal letter, to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, does not accept our authority. He doesn't accept John, the Apostle John's spiritual authority, or any sound pastor teacher. Verse 10, for this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't, I will call attention to his deeds, which he is doing, namely, slandering and maligning us with evil words. And because he is not satisfied with these things, and this is the arrogance of unhappiness, and because he is not satisfied with these things, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren, that is, pastors, missionaries, and evangelists that come through, and he prevents and forbids believers in his own church who desire to do so. And then he expels them from the church. So Diotrephes has manifested 3 very serious spiritual failures. Spiritual failure number 1, he has no humility. The foundational virtue in the spiritual life is humility. That has to be first. Before you ever develop the other virtues in the spiritual life, you have to have the foundation. And the foundation is humility, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the communicator of the Word of God. That has to come first. If you don't have that foundational virtue of humility, you will never develop the other virtues of the spiritual life. Diotrephes has no humility. Spiritual failure number 2, he has no authority orientation. No respect for spiritual authority. No respect for the authority of the Apostle John. No respect for the authority of any sound doctrinal teacher. And spiritual failure number 3, he has maximum arrogance. He is very impressed with who and what he is. Diotrephes is also guilty of the sins that God hates the most, that are an abomination to him, sins of the tongue, slandering, maligning, judging. And Diotrephes is slandering, maligning, judging the Apostle John, as well as any pastor that he cannot control. He has no respect for the spiritual authority of the Apostle John, and no respect for the spiritual authority of any sound doctrinal communicator. Diotrephes is guilty of the worst sins that God hates, sins of the tongue. Proverbs 6:16-19. Diotrephes has a very high human IQ. He is very impressed with how smart he is. He has great human ability and talent. However, whatever human abilities and talents that a believer, and he is a believer, he is a believer in Jesus Christ. He is in heaven as we speak. He is a believer in the Lord. So whatever human abilities and talents that a believer may possess in this life, it's completely neutralized by involvement in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Authority arrogance has destroyed Diotrephes as an administrative leader in the church. You see, currently, Diotrephes is the chairman of the board of deacons in this local church. The Apostle John, therefore, is giving Diotrephes a very strict warning. If Diotrephes persists in rejecting the authority of sound doctrinal communicators like the Apostle John, he will not only be reprimanded in front of the entire congregation, but the Apostle John will remove him as well. He will be stripped of his office, and Gaius will replace him. Those involved in authority arrogance and sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning others, are very unhappy people. Very unhappy people. Even though they have their way constantly, they are very unhappy. And when you live your life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, cosmic one, interlocking systems of hatred, cosmic two, you will be a very unhappy person. And this is the arrogance of unhappiness. And Diotrephes is suffering from the arrogance of unhappiness. Well, that brought us to a study of the arrogance of unhappiness. And we have studied the first 11 points. And that brings us to point 12. So we'll start tonight at point 12 of the doctrine of the arrogance of unhappiness. Point 12, happiness is an individual state of your soul. An individual state of your soul. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, we're living in the church age. God has a unique spiritual life for the believer in the church age. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power to execute it. That is the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So in this dispensation, and only in this dispensation, at the moment of faith in Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, indwells the body of every believer. That never happened before in human history. But in this dispensation, at the moment of salvation, God, the Holy Spirit, indwells the body of every believer. Why? As the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, which is the divine power to live this unique spiritual life of the church age. And when you live that unique spiritual life of the church age and fulfill the ultimate objective, and the ultimate objective is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And virtue love is made up of three parts. It's made up of personal love for God the Father. It's made up of impersonal love for all mankind. And it's made up of occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ is plus age, sharing the happiness of God. When you fulfill the ultimate objective of why we're here, this is in God's fantastic plan for us in the church age. This is the ultimate objective, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart. And when that takes place, then you will have the happiness of God in your soul, in your heart, plus eight. And that plus eight you will have 24/7. 24/7. Every day, day after day after day, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in your marriage or your family, you will have this happiness in your soul no matter what. Now that is the plan of God wants you to have plus H. And that plus H, sharing the happiness of God, is the greatest problem-solving device for any situation and circumstance that you'll face, for any adversity you'll face, for any undeserved suffering you will face, for any adversities you will face. That plus H is that it's what sustained our Lord Jesus Christ when He was on the cross. That problem-solving device of plus H, sharing the happiness of God in His true humanity. So, subpoint, first of all, point 12 is happiness is an individual state of your soul. Now let's break that down and take a look at it. One, first, you must have capacity for happiness. And where are you going to get that capacity for happiness? By living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 2 Peter 3:18 has given us a mandate. Grow up. Grow up spiritually. Spiritual growth. In grace, the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you fulfill that mandate, 2 Peter 3:18, and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you attain spiritual maturity, and you have the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. So first, there must be capacity for happiness, and that comes from having maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. You've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You have wisdom. And wisdom in the Hebrew is chokmah, in the Greek it's sophia. Wisdom is the word of God that you've not only learned, but you've believed. And when you believe the word of God, then it goes into your heart as wisdom. Once you believe the Word of God, now God the Holy Spirit can take that Word you believe and you apply it to your life skillfully and accurately to every situation in your life. That's wisdom. But to have wisdom, you not only must hear the teaching of the Word of God, you must believe the Word of God. So first, there must be capacity for happiness from maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Subpoint two. Plus H, or sharing the happiness of God, is the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. Plus H, or sharing the happiness of God, is the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ. And that is the third part of virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. So, a question. I'm going to ask you all a question. You don't have to talk out loud or stand up and say, okay. What is keeping you from living the spiritual life that God has for us in the church age? What is keeping you from growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? What is keeping you from living your life by the grace and power of God and attaining spiritual maturity and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart? And the answer is arrogance. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says, How happy is the man who finds wisdom. Wisdom, the word of God you've not only heard and listened to, but you believe the word of God and it enters into your heart. Metabolize doctrine in your heart. That's wisdom. How happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Subpoint 3. Wisdom in your heart builds a house. It builds a house in your heart for the occupancy of plus age. This is what we call God's happiness. God's plan, He wants you to share His happiness 24/7. Wisdom in the heart builds a house in your heart for the occupancy of plus age. So there's plus age. So here's your heart, and you have a house in your heart. And again, look what's there. Plus age. See, now you know where my sons got their artistic ability. Didn't get it from me. Probably got it from Debbie. Now, singing, they got that from me. No, they didn't get that from me either. I sang one time in church in Spokane. I sang one time at Beacon Chapel. The pastor, Rolf Hansen, his son was a believer. His son was an athlete. He was an offensive tackle on our football team. He was the best basketball player in Spokane. He was very positive and growing in the Word. The church was a great church for teaching basic doctrine, basic Bible doctrine. That's about it. And I was the assistant director at the Camp Reed, a YMCA camp, and we had a chapel. Every morning we'd have chapel, and I was in charge of the chapel, and the grace gospel would be given. And in chapel at Camp Reed, I sang, "How Great Thou Art." So I told Pastor Hansen, I said, and of course kids don't know. They thought I had a great voice when I sang "How Great Thou Art." So I said, Pastor Hansen, I said, I would like to sing "How Great Thou Art" before church service, during the church service. Well, my mother attended. My sister attended. The church was full. And I started to sing, "How Great Thou Art." There's some notes in there. You got to... And as I'm getting to some of those notes, my mother's going, "Oh." "Oh." And my sister sitting next to her is going... And that was God's way of telling me, keep your mouth shut about singing. Stop singing and open your mouth to teach the Bible, but your singing career is kaput. So wisdom in the heart builds a house in your heart for the occupancy of plus age. 4. Plus age never occupies your house until you have capacity. Plus age never occupies your house until you have capacity. Five, sad to say, but most believers are miserable today because they don't have the house of metabolized doctrine in their hearts. Sad to say, but most believers are miserable today because they don't have the house of metabolized doctrine in their hearts, wisdom in their hearts. Six, plus age is a system of thought in the heart. It's a system of thought in the heart. It's the absolute truth of the Word of God. It's the thinking of Christ in your heart. It's not pleasure. It's not stimulation. It's a system of thought. Seven. Plus age, when you have it in your heart, in that house, in your heart, it's never disappointed. Plus age is never disappointed. It's the greatest problem-solving device in life, sharing the happiness of God. There is nothing like it. It's fantastic. It's what sustained our Lord when He was on the cross. Eight, plus H is a state of the heart. Not the heart down here, but the heart up here. It's not something someone can do for you. So plus age is a state of the heart, not something that someone can do for you. Now there are a lot of believers standing around waiting for others to make them happy. But people don't make you happy. God makes you happy. Nine, the arrogance of unhappiness gives nothing and demands everything. The arrogance of unhappiness gives nothing and demands everything. For the believer, plus H is the result of finding a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assembling with positive volition and humility and responding to the teaching of the Word of God, the mind of Christ. Point 10 is for the believer. Now, question, can the unbeliever have happiness? Yes. 11, for the unbeliever, happiness is related to adherence to the laws of divine establishment. Unbelievers can live their life and believe the laws of divine establishment. They don't know it by that name. And that produces in the unbeliever honor, integrity, and capacity for love and life and happiness. The unbeliever who adheres to the laws of divine establishment with honor and integrity can have happiness in marriage. Can have happiness in business. And there are many unbelievers that have that. And I'm sure all of you have seen unbelievers and been around unbelievers. I had teachers when I was in school, in high school. Unbelievers, but all that this one teacher could talk about was his wife. And he talked about his wife and his wife and his wife. And I'm going, wow, this is an unbeliever adhering to the laws of divine establishment with honor and integrity and capacity, and he has happiness in his marriage. Now, if he doesn't believe in Christ, he'll spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. But in the short time while he's here on earth, he will have neutral happiness while he's here on this earth. 12. For the believer only, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills provides plus age. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue, love, and joy, plus age. The fruit of the Spirit, when you're living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue, love, and joy, plus age, happiness. So for the believer, only living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills provides happiness. Spiritual skill is number one, the filling of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18, grow up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the result of wisdom, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Happiness, plus H, depends on maximum positive volition toward God, toward the Word of God, resulting in growing up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. That concludes the doctrine of the arrogance of unhappiness. Now, 3 John, verse 11. 3 John, verse 11. We're still dealing with Diotrephes. 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. That was Diotrephes. But that which is good. That was Gaius. So we have here the vocative singular of a verbal adjective, agapetos. We have the present middle imperative of mimeo, my, with the negative me, plus the accusative singular of kakos, with the definite article, plus the conjunction Allah, plus the accusative singular of agathos, with the definite article. Well, we have a verbal adjective, agapetos, and we've seen this many times in our classes. A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-S, agapetos. Now, agapetos is used for the special use in the church age describing fellow members of the royal family of God. Now, it's often translated beloved, or it can be translated dear friend, but it refers to the fellow members of the royal family of God. And here, the spotlight is on Gaius in verses 1 through 8. So we have agapetos, and then the vocative case is the vocative of address. So the Apostle John is addressing here Gaius. So verse 11, with beloved, royal family of God, and he's addressing this to Gaius now, who he described in great detail in the first 8 verses. Beloved, royal family of God, and then we have the verb mimeomai. Looks like that in the Greek, M-I-M-E-O-M-A-I. M-E-O-M-A-I, Memeomai. First of all, one, Memeomai means to imitate. It means to imitate, it means to emulate, it means to follow. To imitate, to emulate, to follow. Point two, we have with Memeomai the negative may. M, long E, may. And with the negative may, it means do not imitate, do not follow. So do not imitate, do not follow. Point three, this is a negative command. That is, this is a prohibition in the Word of God to avoid evil. A prohibition to avoid evil. And the word for evil is onomatopoetic. It sounds like what it is. Kakas. K-A-K-O-S. Sounds like evil. Kakas. One. As an adjective, kakas means bad, worthless, inferior. As an adjective, it means bad, worthless, inferior. Two, however, as a substantive, as a noun, which is how it's used in our verse, kakas means evil. As a noun, which is how it's used in our verse, kakas means evil. Three, evil is the satanic plan to trap the human race. Who's the ruler of planet Earth right now? Satan is. Satan is currently the ruler of planet Earth, and he has a plan. He's developed a plan to rule planet Earth. And that plan is evil. Evil is the satanic plan to trap the human race. Four, the plan of Satan is intrinsically evil. The plan of Satan is intrinsically evil. Five, and evil is the M.O. of Diotrephes. Evil is the M.O. of Diotrephes. And then we have our old friend Allah, A-L-L-A, the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. And Allah sets up a contrast between, I'm going to give you three things here. It sets up a contrast between, one, the plan of Satan and the plan of God. Sets up a contrast between the plan of Satan and the plan of God. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between that which is intrinsically evil with that which is intrinsically good. Sets up a contrast between that which is intrinsically evil with that which is intrinsically good. And third, it sets up a contrast between the M.O. of Diotrephes with the M.O. of Gaius. So Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. You translate it, but setting up a contrast between the plan of Satan and the plan of God, that which is intrinsically evil with that which is intrinsically good, the M.O. of Diotrephes with the M.O. of Gaius. And then we have Agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Agathos. A couple of things on agathos. One, as an adjective, agathos means fit, capable, useful, perfect, as an adjective. Two, however, as a substantive, a noun, which is how it's used in our verse, agathos means what is intrinsically good. What is intrinsically good. Three, the plan of God is intrinsically good. The plan of God is intrinsically good. Four, and agathos, that is the M.O. of Gaius. 3 John verses 1 through 8. So, corrected translation so far says, beloved, royal family of God, do not imitate, do not follow what is evil, the plan of Satan, but what is intrinsically good, the plan of God. Okay? Beloved, royal family of God, that's you and me, do not imitate, do not follow what is evil, the plan of Satan, but what is intrinsically good, the plan of God. All right, that brings us to what does the Bible say about evil? The doctrine of evil. I've never pulled this all together in the doctrine of evil until our 3 John class. The doctrine of evil. Point one is definition. Definition. Subpoint one, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are either going to be influenced by evil, or you are going to be influenced by the absolute truth of the Word of God. The Word of God. Well, God is called Aletheia. The Word of God is called Aletheia. A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. Absolute truth. Jesus Christ declared that He is absolute truth. I am the way and the Aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. And then Jesus Christ was teaching and He said, Father, sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia, absolute truth. Thy word is aletheia, absolute truth. So God is absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are either going to be influenced by evil or you're going to be influenced by the absolute truth of the Word of God. Two, evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of planet Earth. He is the current ruler of this planet is Satan. Evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. And currently, he is the ruler of this world. Evil is the MO of Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and continues today as the ruler of planet Earth. 3. Evil is Satan's system. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of planet Earth. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of planet Earth. Four. Evil is the function and thinking of that person who is consistently involved in, well, the Bible calls it the cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. Now, not all the time, but much of the time in the New Testament scriptures, cosmos is used specifically for Satan's cosmic system, which is made up of cosmic 1, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic 2, interlocking systems of hatred. Now, not always. Sometimes it actually is used for the planet. But most of the time, cosmos is used for Satan's cosmic system. So evil is the function and thinking of that person who is consistently involved in Satan's cosmos, Satan's cosmic system. Cosmic 1, interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic 2, interlocking systems of hatred. 5. Evil in a nation results in the destruction of that nation. Evil that is a downward trend. Evil is a downward trend in any nation that will eventually destroy that nation. And look what's going on. Look what's going on in America. I love America. I love our nation. And currently, we still are the client nation to God. But we are a nation in apostasy and a nation in degeneracy. And Satan's in high gear in America trying to destroy the client nation of God. And we are about that far away from the fifth cycle of national discipline. But we're still here, so there's hope. But when you look around at all that's going on in America today, when you see assassinations of Christians like Charlie Kirk, fantastic believer, Christian, who went all through over America to universities and had the students come and he presented Jesus Christ and the grace gospel. He was assassinated. That's evil. And beware. We're about that far away. Now you see churches attacked, people shot in churches. Look at all the anti-Semitism in America. We're at that point where Christians will be shot, killed, murdered. And as the evil takes control of the nation, you'll be arrested and put in prison, put in jail. They'll come in here and arrest me. And then they'll ask, how many of you are following this pastor? And we'll see what you do. So some of you will say, oh, not me. Not me. Maybe a couple of you will stand up and go, I am. I don't care if you stand up or you don't stand up. I'll stand up for Jesus Christ every single day and proclaim the grace and truth of the Word of God day after day after day. And right now, Christians are the enemy of evil people in this nation. We're the enemy of evil people in America. And it won't be long when we're rounded up and placed in jail or in prison. Now, I hope we go to prison. And I hope all of you go to prison. I hope we're all in the same part of the prison. Because I will have you all start singing. And when you start singing, they'll let us out. I'm guarantee you that. What do you think, huh? Yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit talked to me about that last night when I was in bed. Yeah, well, they'll let you out, I guarantee you. I don't even want to be in there when you guys are singing. Six. Evil results in the destruction of a nation. Evil results in the destruction of a nation. And evil attacks legitimate authority within a nation. Like law enforcement. Like border patrol. Like ICE agents. Those are all honorable law enforcement agencies. They're protecting the Constitution of the United States of America. They're 100% right in protecting the Constitution of the United States of America. And what are we doing? Well, these protesters, you know that billions of dollars is coming in from other nations, China and around, financing these, they're professional protesters, many of them. To get everybody else riled up and to attack legitimate authority, law enforcement, police officers, sheriffs, border patrol, ICE agents. When you see that going on, that's evil that's destroying the United States of America. Seven. Evil is anti-legitimate authority. Evil is anti-legitimate authority. Eight, evil is anti the laws of divine establishment. Evil is anti the laws of divine establishment. Nine. Just as grace and truth represent the genius and policy of God in relationship to the human race, just as grace and truth represent the genius and policy of God in relationship to the human race, so evil represents the genius and policy of Satan in relationship to the human race. Just as grace and truth represent the genius and policy of God in relationship to the human race, so evil represents the genius and policy of Satan in relationship to the human race. Now, We're seeing more evil in our nation than we've ever seen before. We are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, and there's evil, evil, evil. Now, every one of you, there's a battle that's going on, and that battle is your soul. For every one of you, there's a battle going on in your soul. The soul is the battleground of every believer. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The battleground is right in here. And all of you, the battleground is in your soul. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There are two ways of thinking. First, thinking the absolute truth of the Word of God, which glorifies Christ. Thinking the absolute truth, the aletheia of the Word of God, sanctify them by means of the truth. Thy Word is aletheia, absolute truth. Thinking the absolute truth of the Word of God, which glorifies Christ, or thinking evil, which dishonors Christ. So the soul is the battleground of every believer. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Thinking the absolute truth of the Word of God glorifies Christ. Thinking evil dishonors Christ. Ten. Now when you sin, and evil is not sin. I mean, sin is sin, and we all sin. Recovery from sin is instantaneous through God's grace provision of rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's sin. Recovery from sin is instantaneous through rebound. 1 John 1:9. But recovery from evil takes time. Takes time through consistent and faithful learning and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:18. So recovery from sin is instantaneous through the use of rebound, 1 John 1:9. But recovery from evil takes time through consistent and faithful learning and believing the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:18. Now, we're only on number 1.1 definition. And we're about halfway through 0.1 definition. Come back. Now remember, what did I say next week? New dispensation. Not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Come back next Wednesday and we'll get the second half of 0.1 definition. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles will be a source of encouraging us and guiding us to choose for you, sir, and for your word. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen.